this morning, isn't he? And you are so loved by him. It's so good to see you. Why don't you stand this morning and turn to a book that you probably have never had a lot of reading in. Maybe you have. I'm not for sure, but a lot of times there's not a lot of teaching done out of this book, but I'm just going to take one scripture out of this book, and that is the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. How many have read the Song of Solomon? Wow. Awesome. Good for you. More than I expected. That's awesome. Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's look at this. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. Come on. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to somebody this morning and say, you are so blessed whether you know it or not. Praise God. Wow, what a great scripture. You know, the Song of Solomon is actually a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word in the New Testament of Christ and his love for the church. What a beautiful picture. If you haven't read that book in a while, go back and read it again, of the romance that Christ has, the love that he has for us. Amen. You know, the Bible says he sings over us. Praise God. He rejoices over you today. And I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning on one of the greatest tools the enemy uses to limit the manifestation of the blessings of God in your life. I don't know about you, but I want to see the full manifestations of God's blessings in my life. I want to see the power of God operating through my life. How about you? Amen. When I lay hands on others, I'm believing for complete recovery. Amen. How about you? But one of the things the enemy does is he wants to keep us from receiving all that God has for us and is provided in Jesus Christ. And this is the greatest tool I believe he uses, and it is condemnation, guilt, and shame. In fact, the enemy is a real expert in that area. He is really good. In fact, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he's really good at throwing guilt, condemnation, and shame in believers' lives if they don't know their position in Christ, who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, and the power and authority they have over the enemy. So he'll work havoc on your brain. He wants to keep you sin consciousness. Now, let me tell you something. You know, I used to hear so many preachers say when there was a great move of God and all of a sudden it stopped, well, there must be sin in the camp. Anybody ever heard that before back in the day? Must be sin going on. Stop this move of God. I've heard that. I heard it a lot of time. You know, man, something going, there's sin there. And I begin to think, well, if there's sin already there, it would never have prevented the move of God in the first place. Because if, you know, hello? If sin was already, hello, if sin is prevalent, God moved before because sin was already there anyway. Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying? So it's kind of a stupid thing. Well, you know, sin stopped. No, sin didn't stop God. If that would have stopped God, then it wouldn't have started. Come on, somebody. So what happens? So we're believing God. Let's say we're believing God. We're believing God for healing. We're believing God for a financial blessing. And all of a sudden, as we're thinking about that, something comes up in our consciousness and in our conscious mind. All of a sudden, we're reminded of something we didn't do. The law begins to stir up within our members, and all of a sudden, we're reminded of something. We're believing for healing, and all of a sudden, the enemy will say, well, you know what? You haven't prayed enough this week. Meh. Well, you know what? You haven't read your Bible enough. Sometimes we think of these big sins, but the enemy sometimes trips us up from really receiving the manifestation by these little things. And he throws condemnation into life. The truth is that Jesus freed us from sin when he died on the cross. Amen? Which means we no longer have to keep on sinning. Wow. If we continue in practicing sin, it's because We have a flawed understanding of the power and the death and the resurrection that Jesus provided. Hallelujah. You don't have to practice sin. Turn to somebody and say, you don't have to practice sin. Jesus overcame it so you could overcome it. Right? You don't have to practice sin. Amen. He delivered us from our old sinful nature. We've been delivered. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. In your spirit, you are righteous now. Amen. So we must learn the difference between sin, where it's used as a noun, and sin as a verb. Look at Matthew 1:20-21. Matthew 1:20-21. Look at the purpose of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 20:21. Amen. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name who? What? Jesus, the anointed one. For he will save his people from their sins. The purpose that Jesus came was to save us from our sins. John said when he was baptizing, he looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that what? Takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world so that there would not be a consciousness of sin any longer, but there would be a consciousness of our righteousness that we now have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you know you have that righteousness, you have the power and the authority to overcome anything that the enemy would throw against you. Wow. The objective of Jesus coming to earth was to save people from their sins. Initially, it was just for the Jews, but we've been grafted in. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. He has a plan. We are in that plan, and we've been grafted in. Romans 5:19-21. Romans 5:19-21. Praise God. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made, what? Sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made, what? Righteous. So by one man, Adam, the imputation of sin was laid upon all. But by one man, Jesus Christ, now righteousness is available for all. Hallelujah. Go on down. Moreover, the law entered into offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Much more. Everybody say much more. Much more. Much more. It super abounded. Wherever sin is, you've got to be reminded of this. When the enemy brings up something in your past, you remind him of his future. Hello? But also remind him that where sin abound, God's grace and favor has superabounded over the sin. Whoa, my gosh. It gives you power and authority when you understand your position in Christ. Are y'all still here this morning? When Adam did what was responsible for making us sinners, because of him, everyone was born into sin. This is why it's so important to be born again. To come to Christ. We are able to be born again because of what Jesus did. Grace is always stronger than the power of sin. Grace is always stronger than the power of sin. Grace is always stronger than the power of sin. Grace is always stronger than the power of sin. Grace is always stronger than the power of sin. I said grace is always stronger than the power of sin. Hallelujah. The enemy has nothing on us. He can't find anything. No accusation. Praise God in Jesus Christ. So you got to apply the correct interpretation of the word sin. Okay? In this passage, sin is used as a noun and not a verb, not an action thing. In fact, the book of Romans, sin is used 48 times. 40 of these are a reference as a noun referring to man's sinful nature before being a believer. So let's go on down. Look at Romans 6:1-8. Romans 6, 1 through 8. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul was so accused of preaching so much of grace, he had to answer this question. Because they were saying, Paul, are you just giving a license to sin? Paul is saying basically, hey, I don't need to give a license to people to sin. They sin without a license, right? So that they just go ahead and do it, right? Right? But Paul had to answer this. He said what? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized where? Into his death. He died once. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so also should we walk in what? The newness of the life that we've received. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection or his empowerment. Knowing this, everybody say knowing this, it's what you know that sets you free, that our old man was crucified with him and the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Turn to somebody and say, God sets you free. You're not to be a slave. You're in freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are free in him. Hallelujah. Let's go on down a little bit further. For he who has died has been... Turn to somebody and say, I am no longer a person that practiced sin. I don't even have to go there, right? Because we've been freed from it. Next verse. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. So in this chapter, chapter 6, sin is used as a verb only one time. Jesus did not come to deliver us from the act of sinning, but from the sinful nature that we had inside of us. That's what he came to deliver us from. So traditional teaching tells us that sinning makes us sinners. But we are not what we do. Are you hearing me? So when we continue to sin after believing, is because our minds, our souls, are still being influenced by that nature and by the enemy. We need to update our software. How many see those updates? You know, you get on your phone, it says update, and you got 20 of them. And you got to sit there. I don't know about you, man, but and I'm very, you know, reluctant at times to update. But I read the fine print. Oh, this causes this. This is a bug here. Well, you know what? You need to update your software right here. You need to have an update. You need to be renewed to what Jesus has done. You need to get out of the old and get into the new. If you're still in the old, you're going to have problems, amen? But when you come into the newness of Jesus Christ, you are freed, amen? And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But so many people are still trying to do the old and live in the new. Jesus said you can't put what? New wine into old wineskins. Wine represents joy. He said you can't put it in there because if you try to put it in there, it's going to burst and it's not going to be any good. And so many people are still trying to live up to this law thing, be sin consciousness. And when you do, what happens is it brings out more sin. The law is really good at bringing out more sin. And it's the ministry of death. I don't know about you, but I like the ministry of life. I like life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good. I don't know if it's that donut this morning I had back there or if it's just the joy of the Lord inside. I'm going to believe it's the joy of the Lord. Amen. But, man, I'm telling you, I am feeling on fire today. You better watch out here in a few minutes because it's going to light up in this place. Are you all ready? Amen. So when we continue in sin, it's because our mind hadn't been renewed to the truth. You got to renew your mind. You got to put in the new. You got to reprogram it. You got to hit the button. Hit the button. Turn to somebody and say, hit the button. Hitting button. Reprogram it. Amen. Put in the new software. How do you do it? By the Word of God. By lining up what the Word of God says about you, identifying with it. Living under law instead of living under grace makes you sin conscious. Living under the law instead of God's grace makes you sin conscious. And so many people are sin conscious, and because they're sin conscious, they lack the power of the operation in their life, because they're always feeling they're condemned and they're unworthy, and you know, they just can't seem to get out of it, and you know, they worry all the time, and they're just in that state of perpetual emotions going on. God didn't want you there. He wants you out of there. He wants you to experience the fullness of God in your life and for your family. Fullness of God. Fullness of God. Enjoying life every day. Every heaven on earth, baby. Hallelujah. Heaven on earth every day. Man. You know what the only requirement to get to heaven is? It's just to believe on what Jesus has done. That's it. It means if you sin later, you're still going. Say what? It means if you sin later, you're still going. Grace frees us, has the power over sin. If you blow it, if you make mistakes, if you mess up, listen, just pick yourself up and go on. God is still loving you the same as before. You are fit. Turn to somebody and say, you are fit. The blood of Jesus has made you fit for the kingdom. The blood of Jesus has made you fit for kingdom work. There is no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Hallelujah. If you blow it, just get up and keep on going. Don't let the condemnation come into your life and stop you from receiving all that God has for you, including your healing. The reason I believe a lot of people aren't seeing a manifestation of the healing is because they're more conscious of their past and their failures than they are what Jesus has done for them. Just because you don't break one of the Ten Commandments doesn't mean that you still not blow it. The Bible says he that, what? Knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? James 4:17. It is sin. You know what else the Bible says? Romans 14:23. Whatever we do in faith, do not in faith is sin. Whoa. So religion tells us we have to die to sin repeatedly, but we only need to really die once. But religion tells you, oh man, you got to die to this thing. You got to die to it. You got to die to that sin. Only way you're going to overcome it. Listen, you don't have to die to it because Jesus died to it. And when you were a believer, it died. It died. Jesus delivered us from sin by exchanging our sinful nature for his sinless nature. Woo! Hallelujah. And when, look at 1 Corinthians, let's put this up, 1 Corinthians 15:30-31. 1 Corinthians, because people, that, I tell you, religion is so destructive, and people believe this stuff, man, they get caught up, the preachers are preaching that you got to die to sin. If you're going to be a believer and receive from God, you've got to die to sin, right? Then they use this verse. I affirm by the boasting of which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Anybody ever heard that preach? You got to die to sin, brother. You got to die. You got to die to it. Well, you do. You do it one time. Once. Jesus died once. You died once. Your old man died and was buried with Jesus. I just read that scripture. Anybody remember that scripture I just read? Your old man died. You're not dying again and again and again every day. It has nothing to do with this verse of scripture and sin. Say what? Look at the next verse. If in the matter of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Can you put this up in the Message Bible there, Brother Aaron? You are so awesome, dude. Message. Let's look at the Message and see what the Message says about this scripture. What is he talking about here? Do you think I was just trying to act heroic when I fought with the wild beast. Back up to the next one, verse 31. I look death in the face, what? Practically every day I live. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't convinced of your resurrection and mine as guaranteed by the resurrected Messiah Jesus? Do you think I was just trying to act heroic when I fought the wild beast at Ephesus, hoping it wouldn't be the end of me? Not on your life. It's resurrection, always resurrection, that undergirds what I do and say, the way I live. If there's no resurrection, we eat, drink, and the next day we die, and that's all there is. What he's talking about in that verse has nothing to do with sin, but it has everything to do that he was being persecuted. And he was saying, I put my life on the line daily for the gospel's sake. Has nothing to do with dying to sin. We died once in Jesus Christ. We have died. We have buried. Our old man is there. Don't bring him back up. He is done and gone away with. We have died in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are a new people. Am I preaching to the choir today? Hello? We are a new people in Christ. A new identity in Jesus Christ. Paul was referring to persecution he faced every day, not dying to sin daily. It is a good point. We take this out of context, it's because the enemy is trying to keep us confused on this point. If you take it out of con, if you take text out of the con, what you get is a con. Hello? Context. Just want to let you know that. So keep everything in what? Context, right? Jesus, who had no root of sin, lives in us. We have the same faith as him. Despite the temptation he faced, he did not have the nature to sin. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live, yet not I, but who? Christ living in me. And how do I live now? By faith in whom the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness. And the enemy just wants to hold people back with this area. I'm going to tell you, church, God wants you to experience the fullness of God in your life. God wants you to experience the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. God wants you to see healings taking place, not only in others, but in yourself. God does not want you sick, and you don't have to put up with sickness. Hello? You do not have to put up with. Some people, you know, you get a little pain, and it starts out as a pain, and you just say, it's a little pain, and, you know, and then you begin to live with a little pain, and every day you get up, you're living with that. God doesn't want you living with pain. Come on, somebody. Amen. God does not want you living with pain. He provided healing for you. Total healing. Amen. Woo! Yeah, come on. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Our sinless nature was put on the body of Jesus. His sinless nature was put on us. Our sinful nature was put on him. His sinless nature was put on us. The plan was to give us the root of righteousness. When you got the root, you have the fruit. When you got the root, you have the fruit. Amen? So, wow. We did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus was incapable of sinning because he did not have the root of sin inside of him. He was born of a virgin, amen, by the Heavenly Father. Wow, man, that is so powerful. Romans 12:2, transforming our mind to the truth, right? Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus' death, resurrection allows us to be just like him here on earth. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. How many ever heard of a girl named Maddie Runkless? Anybody heard of Maddie? She was in the news lately. Anybody heard of Maddie? Maddie Runkless? I'm going to read you a little story. Is that all right? Can I read you a story this morning? She was a pregnant and unwed teenager. And she'd been countless to subject several news reports earlier this year after administration at a private Christian high school refused to allow her to walk in graduation ceremonies in order to teach a lesson. This is why I don't like churchy stuff. What do you mean by that? People condemning people. People judging people. You know what? Folks, you know what? This shouldn't be. Teach her a lesson regarding her immorality. This is a director that's writing this of a film that's coming out in September called Gracia. Gracia. Hang on a second, okay? Well, I understand the school, I don't know the Gracia, it has to do with grace. This is what she says. While I understand the school's desire to teach their students lessons about consequences of sin, I also think the events in Maddie's life could have provided students with a lesson about grace. Yeah. The grace that caused Jesus to tell a woman living in sin, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. I know something about this, the writer says. I know something about this. You see, once upon a time, I was Maddie Runkless. I also became pregnant outside of marriage, barely out of my teen years. Rebellion had set in, and I skated in sin, believing the big lie that there are more pleasures to be found in the world than in God. Driven by fear, I hid my pregnancy for 5 months. I knew that the shame and guilt I carried would only amplify, plus usher in condemnation once others learned my secret. Was I up for this? Could I handle this? Like Maddie Runkless, I was raised in a Christian home where we upheld Christian principles and embraced biblical values. If you're a parent here today, this is going to be a great learning experience for you right here. I was raised in a home that upheld Christian principles and embraced biblical values. In fact, my father was the pastor. And this further enhanced my anxiety as I struggled to tell my parents about my pregnancy. It weighed heavily on me, especially in knowing that another decision, a secret one to not have my baby, could rid me of being shamed by others. The day I finally mustered up enough strength and courage and confided in my father, something extraordinarily happened. When I told my father's shoulders sagged and he hung his head. Momentarily, we sat in silence, me holding my breath, awaiting his reaction while wearing the weight of this certain disappointment and possible anger. Then there was an incredible, overwhelming feeling of shame that washed in me in waves. My father finally raised his head and looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, "Honey, I'm so disappointed, I am." "Now it's my turn to hang my head," she said. "And you have made some poor choices," the father said, "which now have consequences," and he continued. "It won't be easy, and there will be struggles and a hard path ahead of you. But I love you. And now I figure I have been given more to love." The writer said, "What? Wait?" My mouth agape. Before I could respond, my father got up from his chair, reached over and wrapped me in his arms and simply held me. It was just what I needed and not what I expected. Tears ran down my face. "Listen, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me?" "Of course. Of course." What I encountered was something I'd never fully grasped before, though I had been taught for years. What I encountered that day was called grace. I didn't get what I deserved, but I certainly fully received what I had been taught. grace swept over me and unleashed its power, connecting both with my head and my heart. The only way I can describe it is that grace is the gift of a big exhale, holding one's breath and waiting for what most certainly should come to receiving a get-free pass that one would absolutely not expect. That grace moment propelled my life, listen to me, in a new direction. Wow, that is the power of grace. I confessed my sins. I cleaned up my act. I charted a new course, fanned by the winds of grace and the truth spoken in love. My father was right. I did choose a hard path, and there were struggles ahead. But when I look into my son's beautiful eyes, I'm so glad I made the right choice after I made the wrong one. Through the years, and because of grace, I have served many unwed teen moms and even incarcerated moms, teaching them the lesson I'd learned regarding truth and grace while spoken in love. Here's one of my thoughts that I want to share, which I have shared weekly with the incarcerated moms. A leopard cannot change its spots, but I assure you that a caterpillar can change into a beautiful butterfly. Grace has the power to change one within, which unleashes the feeling of freedom and propels one in a positive direction, not the opposite. The law does the exact opposite. The preaching of the law brings death and rebellion in people's lives. Grace brings life, joy, and peace. Look at Song of Solomon 4:7. Song of Solomon 4:7. Jesus tells his bride, "You are my fair, my love." That's what you are, Holly. "And there is no spot in you." Hallelujah. But our reply to him tends to be, "Who, me, Lord? I'm all fair. There's no spot in me. You don't know me, Lord." You don't think God knows you. You don't think he knows what's up in your life. God sees like no one else sees. Are you hearing me this morning? He sees the perfection of his son's finished work in your life. That's what God sees. By one offering of himself, the cross, Jesus has perfected you forever. Forever. When the enemy throws that up again, throw Hebrews 10:14 up to him again and say, "I am perfected forever in my spirit." Hello? You have been made the righteousness of God, and you will never find any spot in that righteousness. Jesus has died to give you righteousness. So what God wants you to see yourself righteous, all fair, spotless, every day. Be conscious of your righteousness in Christ. Say to yourself, "I am the righteousness of Jesus in Jesus Christ." Amen. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. There is no spot in me. I have been perfected by his blood. If you are conscious of your sins, then you are not honoring the work of Christ. If you are conscious of your sins, you are not honoring the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible calls sin consciousness an evil conscience. Hello? You hear me? Boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hebrews 10:21-22 tells us that since we have a high priest, Jesus our high priest, let us draw near with what? A true heart full of what? Heart full of what? Turn there. Hebrews 10:21-22, real quick. I'm going to close. Let us draw near. Go back, if you would, Aaron. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of what? What is the manifestation? What is required to see manifestation in our life? Believing. Believing. And he says we can have a full heart of faith, of believing. Amen? Faith is our response to what God's already done. Amen. It's when we're sin conscious that our faith isn't working correctly. We're not believing correctly. Because we're taking what Jesus has done, laying it aside, and saying, no, it wasn't enough. What you did wasn't enough, God. Therefore, I need to do something to make it right. But when you have a understanding of the finished work of Jesus and you honor that, you'll say, it was enough. I'm full of faith. I will see the manifestation of God in my life. I will see the Spirit of God operating in my life. Why? Because of what God did on the cross was good enough for me and the whole world. Full of assurance. Turn to somebody and say, are you full of it this morning? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah, man. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You won't have to waver when you're not sin conscious. It's sin conscious people that are like this. It's people who know the truth, and the truth has set them free, that they're steady as can be. Man. An evil conscience talks about a consciousness of sin, Hebrews 10:2. Paul calls it the consciousness as seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:2. Look at this. 1 Timothy 4:2. We're going to close with this, guys, so hang on. 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience, what? Seared with a hot iron. Boy, I used to hear that scripture, preach that scripture, and say if you're sinning, you're going to sin so much that your conscience is seared like a hot iron. You won't be able to receive anything. How many ever heard that preached like that before? Yeah, I have. The Greek word for seared here means to carry about with you a perpetual conscience of sin. The way it becomes seared is when you carry about with you all the time a perpetual consciousness of sin. You're more conscious of sin than you are of His righteousness. And if you're more conscious of sin, then I'm going to tell you, man, you're not going to see the manifestation like God wants you to see it. God didn't want you to be sin conscious. He wants you to be son conscious. He wants you to be son conscious. So don't carry with you an evil, seared conscience. Your lifetime of sin has already been punished fully in the body of Jesus Christ. Be conscious instead of your perfection and righteousness in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for you, you can boldly declare, I am all fair. There is no spot in me. Praise God. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Give God some praise today. Amen. Man, you should walk out of this place today and say, whoa, look out, devil. Drop kick him right back to hell, man. Hello? Don't listen. What happens when people get into a pattern of being sin conscious? You know what they do? They repeat. They repeat their sin because they're in that pattern. They're just in that thing. Listen, break out of that. Really? How do you break out of it? By beholding Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. That's the scripture. Behold the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. My sin, your sin, everybody's sin. You don't have to be sin conscious. Oh, well, Pastor, I still blow it. Yeah, you're going to, but aren't you glad He's already forgiven you? It's already a done deal, man. It's already a done deal. He paid the full price. He's already forgiven you. Oh, yeah, but no, yeah, no, yeah, but Pastor, no. Look into Jesus' face. Amen. See His love for you. If you're any type of dad, it wouldn't matter what your kids did, you'd still love them. They could be rascals. They could be incarcerated today. They could be on death row. You know what? You're going to still love them as a father. It's just the way it is. God put that in you. That's the way God is, man. He loves you today. Raise up your hands this morning. Amen. Say with Pastor this morning, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My spirit is 100% righteous. My mind is lining up to what the Word of God says about me, who I am. I am an overcomer. I have power within me. I believe for the full manifestation of life, of Jesus' life in me, in my body, in my family, in my home, in my children, in my grandchildren, in my family, at my workplace, wherever I go, favors on me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up, I shall condemn. How do you condemn it, church? I tell you how you condemn it. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus has set me free. Wow. He has set you free today. Anything you need right now, you can receive it. If you need healing, you take it by faith. Right now, right now, right now is the time to receive. Amen. Right now, you're in a state right now. You know who you are in Christ. Right now, whatever you, if you need a financial need, right now is the time to receive it. Raise your hand up and say, thank you, Lord. I receive it. Amen. I receive in my life. Listen, I'm not going to put up with a little pain. I'm not going to put up with any pain. No pain in my body. My body is pain-free. My body is pain-free. I don't have to be on a medication. I can be on Jesus. I don't have to take medication. I don't have to take it because Jesus is my healer. Now listen to me. If you're on medication this morning, don't run out of here and say, Pastor said I don't need to take medication. No, if you don't have enough faith, you'll die. So I didn't tell you that. Amen? You need to know in your spirit. You need to have a rhema word on it. What's a logos word? The logos word is for every one of us, right? So this is logos. What's rhema? It's for me. Logos is for God so loved the world. Rhema is for God so loved me. And when God speaks to me and says, yeah, and then I confirm it. How do I confirm it? If I've got an illness, how do I confirm that illness? I don't put my trust in doctors because they practice medicine. I put my trust in Jesus. But I'll go to the doctor and say, doctor, I want you to check this because I totally believe I am the healed of the Lord, no matter what you may say. And I value opinion at times, but it's just an opinion, doctor. I totally believe I'm healed of the Lord. Would you go ahead and check this again? And let him check it. And then you know what? When he comes back and says, wow, I don't know what happened. Not only are you a witness to yourself, but you're a witness to him. And you tell him, hey, let me tell you what happened. I know Jesus. I've been on the Word. I've been standing on the Word. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is my healer. You know what, doctor? I want to tell you, he loves you today, and he has healing for you as well. Can I pray for you right now? Can I practice healing with you right now? Hallelujah. Woo! Take it. Hold up your hands one more time this morning. Say, Jesus, I take it. I receive it. Everything you have for me, I receive today. Thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. No headache, no arthritis, no heart disease, no cancer, nothing. I am the healed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You take your authority this week. You take your authority. Amen. You receive it. You take it this week. Don't let the enemy steal anything from you. He'd love to rip you off, but you take it. I want you to shake hands with five people and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Find five people today. Shake hands with them. Tell them that. Amen.